Our scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. I'll be reading from the Revised Standard Version. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any incentive of love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. How easy is it for you to step aside and let someone else get the credit? How anxious do you become when there's a long line at the cashiers or at the tellers or at the gas pump? Do you like to go first? I have to admit, I'm kind of in a hurry when I go to town. I guess that's normal for men, right? We know what we want. It's time to get in there and get out of here. It frustrates me when I walk into Sam's and I'm ready to check out and they've got 32 registers and only three of them are open and there's a line at each one of them. I want to step back and say, wait a minute, what's wrong with this picture? It's almost like I'm ready to escape or something. I want to get out of here. Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. How much time do we spend thinking of others in comparison to thinking about ourselves? How many times am I visiting, taking food, doing small chores for someone else? Not just for me and mine. How often do I catch myself praying for someone else? Studying with, on behalf of, someone else? Am I really willing, as often as I should, to set aside my own schedule in order to serve? The story is told about a father and son who had one of those rare weekends when they could be together. It was an outing. And it happened to be a school event. And this father and son traveled a good distance so that the father could watch the son participate in this sports activity. There were motel rooms, meals to be paid for, gas at high prices, and yet it was worth it. Because at this particular meet, the son was going to jump against one of the only other competitors in the state, within his region, that could jump as high as he could jump. So the son was excited, ready. The father was eagerly anticipating getting to witness this particular. It wasn't state, but it was an important event. And so as the day came and the young men were warming up, and the father was standing next to his son, the boy's coach walked over and said, "Need to talk to you." He said, "I'd like for your son not to jump today." You see, the state only allows the top three to go to state. And if your son jumps, he's already qualified for state. But if he jumps, one of his teammates is not going to be able to participate in state. If he'll just scratch, if he'll just give way, if he'll just step aside today, then one of his teammates will be able to go to state and participate. The father said, "Well, you'll have to talk to my son." The coach went over to Jeremy. He said, "Jeremy, I'd like for you to scratch." Now, Jeremy was eager. He was ready. He wanted to. This was going to be really a competition. In so many of the other meets that he had gone to, the jumps would start at 5'6", 5'8", 5'10", and 6 foot. The other players would already be out of competition. Jeremy would jump his 6'1", 6'2". This was a day in which he could place higher on the scale and compete against someone of his own caliber. He said, "Dad, what should I do?" His dad said, "That's up to you, Jeremy." Tears in his eyes, Jeremy stepped aside. He scratched. He gave way. Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility, count others better than yourselves. Jeremy went on to state, and as we announced last week, he won. But this was a day to step aside. This week we will celebrate the 60th anniversary, June 6th, 1944, the invasion. Now, some of the young people still don't have a clue what I'm talking about. But you that are older know what I'm talking about. It's D-Day, isn't it? 60 years ago, the Allied forces invaded Europe. A great thrust to put Germany, Adolf Hitler, in his place. Locations like Omaha Beach, Utah Beach, they ring with the veterans of that war. I was on the internet this morning just looking through and refreshing my mind about some of the things that happened there. I talked with World War II veterans, members of the church who were in the planes bombing, some who were in the tanks invading. So many of our young men died that day. And as I read the personal accounts of those who survived that invasion, of thousands of men, they said the sea turned red. The bombs that were supposed to soften up the sea defenses of the Germans and leave foxholes and craters for men to fall into, it hadn't happened. The paratroopers that went behind enemy lines met with fierce resistance. Halfway through the day, our Allied forces thought that the day was lost. We ought to just pull back and try again another day. And someone said, "No." But a few made it in comparison with the ones that died. Many were drowned in the water as their boats launched them into the deep and their backpacks became waterlogged. Even just the slightest of wounds was enough of a weakening for them to drown there in the water. Others that made it literally crawled over the top of bodies to shore. Why? Why such a sacrifice? What possessed them? In what did they trust and believe that it was enough to die? Thousands never fired a shot that day. The enemy wasn't seen. They were entrenched in bunkers. Machine gun fire crossing the beach. It was a slaughter. And yet those who died did not die in vain. It was successful at the end of the day. Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility, count others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. The Apostle Paul sacrificed much in his life, at least according to tradition, even dying a martyr's death. But he had an attitude toward others that said, I will give myself in order to reach, in order to save. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul understood his liberties in Christ, but that gave him no rights personally. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. It is Paul who wrote Philippians, the one that we are using as our text this morning. And we can see in his own personal example his attitude of sacrifice, of giving, of stepping aside, of giving way for the sake of others. Verse 19, 1 Corinthians 9. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, that I might win the more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law I became as one outside the law, not being without law toward God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. What was Paul saying? Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. Paul says, whenever I look at someone else, I don't see eyes and ears. I see a soul. A soul that needs saved. And I'm going to do my best in any way possible to identify with that man or that woman. To the Jew, I'll become like a Jew. To those under the law, I'll become like one under the law, though not yielding necessarily to the doctrine of the law of Moses for salvation. That's what he said. To those outside the law, I'll become an outlaw, but not compromising the teachings of Christ. There's a preacher in Kansas that every year he likes to go up to South Dakota to the motorcycle rallies. Can you imagine that? A preacher at the motorcycle rallies? And what Carl does, and I've talked with Carl about this numerous times, what Carl does on those occasions, and he and his wife both don black leather. He puts on fake tattoos. A bandana. He already has a beard. And off to the motorcycle rally in South Dakota he goes. I said, Carl, isn't that kind of scary? He said, yeah, it gets a little scary. Carl's a pretty big fella. I'm not sure I could get away with it. But he's a pretty good-sized fella. He says, but you'd be surprised how people treat you. He said, because we come rolling into motels and we don't always get a room. You think he might take off his black leather and his bandana and wash his tattoo off and go ahead and get a room. I'm a preacher for the Church of Christ. But you know what the attendant's going to say? Yeah, right. But what Carl does is he identifies. Now I imagine the Apostle Paul doing that to the extent that he can without compromising the gospel. He becomes like the people that he's with. But he doesn't do it for show. He doesn't do it just for fun. He does it because he wants to identify with them. He can lose himself for the benefit of others. Look at that first verse we read in verse 19. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all. Paul considered others' souls more important than his own. Ego, reputation, dignity. Never compromising the word. Don't get me wrong here. He didn't so identify with those that he was with that he sinned, but he did his best to lose himself, to give way, to step aside, to allow others to come to know Jesus. And the more he identified with him, the more likely that was to happen. He knew what it was to deny himself. He could think of the spiritual interest above his own interest. Remember what John the Baptist said when he was speaking of Jesus in John chapter 30? He must increase, I must decrease. Do you know John was a mathematician? And there he was, pluses and minuses. And what John understood about himself was, I have served my purpose, I have given my life, I am but the crier, the voice out of the wilderness, and now the Messiah has come. And those who follow me have followed me simply to make the transition into Christianity. And it's time for me to step aside. I'm not worthy of untying the sandals that the Messiah wears. He must increase. I must decrease. Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility, count others better than yourselves. Paul writes another letter to the Corinthians. Turn now with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And he explains to them the basis for his mission, for his outreach, for his ministry. Beginning with verse 13, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For if we are beside ourselves, he's not talking about being crazy. For if we are beside ourselves, but he is implying, if we do look a little crazy because of the sacrifices that we make, and if you look at Paul's life, he's just hard to discourage. He gets beaten, thrown in prison, stoned, left for dead, and he keeps on going. He's like the Energizer Buddy. He says, if that looks a little crazy to you, if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. That's our reason. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Paul says, you want to know why I'm so self-sacrificing? I've got an example that just can't be beat. I've got a Savior who died on the cross for me. And I understand that he left everything in glory so that I might have hope. Who am I to hang on to anything of this world and thereby be a stumbling block for my brother or my sister? He says, it may look crazy, the things that I do and that which I give up, but I do it all for the sake of he who died for me. Because I understand that whenever I became saved, I died as well. You see, it's as if Paul, in his spiritual existence, says, my life is not my own. No longer do I care about this body of flesh. You know why those men and women died as they did and are dying today as they do? Because they believe in a cause greater than themselves. It's the team. I heard Donald Rumsfeld say some things this week that I don't usually wince at what Donald Rumsfeld says. I kind of enjoy the way he rips the press, but he said some things this week that I don't know if I agree with yet. He was talking to West Point cadets. And in his fervor of telling them about the honor code that they understood and have been taught, he said, your honor code is the basis upon which this society is founded. Now, I need to read that honor code to know exactly what it says. But I wanted to say back, no, this society can't be founded upon man's teachings. It must be founded upon Christ. It must be given over to His love and to His sacrifice and His grace and His mercy. But in His fervor, what He was intending for them to know, and some of the West Point cadets that started 4 years ago, we weren't in a war when they started, and now they talked to him, they interviewed him, and they said, what do you think about what's happening? And they said, it's real to us. We know where we're headed. We know where we're going. We know what's going to be demanded of us. And I know that's where Donald Rumsfeld was coming from when he said, you must abide by what you believe in. You must be willing. When the bullets are flying and they all seem to be pointed towards you, you must be willing to die, if necessary, for that which is greater than you. Let nothing be done from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. If my death is necessary for the cause to be promoted, then let me die. Is that not what Paul is saying? If we seem crazy, it is for God. If we seem to be in our right mind, it is for you. We understand that Christ died for us, therefore all have died, and we no longer. Let's just keep reading from verse 16. And from now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Remember earlier I said Paul didn't see just eyes and ears when he looked at someone? He didn't just see faces and bodies, he saw souls. We no longer regard anyone from a human point of view. Even though we once considered Christ from a human point of view, we regard Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. Paul said, I am enlisted. I'm in God's army. I signed up and I serve. And I don't care about my physical self so much as I care about your soul. And I don't see you as just a body. I see you as potentially God's child. And I don't regard anyone from a human point of view any longer, just standing in line, blocking my way. No, instead I step aside to let them see the Savior, to bring them to Jesus. That is my ministry, that is my message, that is my mission. I have been given it by God. Paul told the Romans in Romans chapter 14 and verse 19, let us then pursue for peace and for what makes for mutual upbuilding. Now, I'll start out with the same question. I'll end with the same question. You thought, oh no, he's going to start over. How easy is it for you to step aside? How easy is it for you to give way? To take one for the team? Do nothing. From selfishness or conceit, but in humility, count others better than yourselves. And our example is Jesus. Perfect, sinless, holy, the Son of God, willing to hang upon the cross for me. It's me that deserves to be there. And he did it that he might win some. Paul seized that attribute and said, so too I will live for Christ, and to die is gain. What about you and I? Have you given way your selfish interests? Given yourself over to the service of the Lord? Do you believe in a cause enough to die for it? The greatest cause of all is not liberty. The greatest cause of all is not freedom in this life, the greatest cause of all is Jesus Christ, forgiveness of sins and eternal life. If you're not yet a child of God, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?